On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Like one third more sports than a normal can.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Tall Can Sports. We had an unexpected hiatus last week as I went off to take care of a family wedding and woke up Sunday with more than a hangover as I was pretty sick. So the next several days I was in no mood or not capable of hosting a talk show. So we put her off for a week. Back with me, Nate Sager of Yahoo Sports. He's going to make sure I'm caught back up. We're into September. I've kind of been off the map for almost 2 weeks now.
Off the grid.
Yeah, we're into September. So I assume...
Rugged individualist living off the land. How come they haven't given you a show on the History Channel yet, Matt? Or on
OLN?
That's
awesome, yeah. Man, that's a good call. Why haven't I got
that? You got the beard.
Right now, especially. Just fresh out of the woods, yeah. Where's my plaid jacket? Let's get at it. Traditionally...
And wild conspiracy theories and tinfoil hats.
Well, I have a tinfoil hat somewhere, I'm sure. And a few theories, so this might work. We're into September. You're going to tell me how far off the map I am here, just because traditionally, and you know, we're into September, so I assume the Jays are 20 games back at first.
Oh, yeah.
The Leafs are pinned to win the Stanley Cup. And Tom Brady's still suspended for 4 games.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much what happened.
That's how it looks right now?
No.
Okay. All right.
Sonny and Cher still have that stupid show? No! She won an Oscar, and he's a congressman. Good night.
We can't tell Mom about this.
Yeah, 25 games left in the season, and the Jays are a half game up on the Yankees after...
A loss today.
Monday's
in
action, yeah. An ugly loss in Boston. And then the Yankees won, and they've got a 4-game series this weekend. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, I'm fired up on Tom Brady. And tried to cover this a couple weeks back on a different show. You and I got into it a bit, a different week. Pull back the curtain a little. Had a whole show finished, and it went in the toilet and never saw the light of day. So we went in depth on Brady on that one. You know, before I go spinning off my screw top head, why don't you go ahead? What did you think of this? Is it about what you thought was going to happen coming out of the court hearings? Or?
Well, I have to say that, you know, I probably took the line of, well, you know, the NFL has a terrible collective bargaining agreement, which
yep.
pretty much lets the commissioner play judge, jury, and executioner. Yep. But even Roger Goodell managed to screw that up.
Right.
The Patriots still got docked a first-round draft pick out of it, but they got the Tom Brady suspension waived. And I guess ultimately that's, you know, I mean, the NFL doesn't supersede, you know, the laws of the land yet.
It's coming.
It's coming, yeah. And, you know, I mean, basically, you know, Brady lawyered up and, you know, won a victory and, sadly, it takes, you know, Teflon Tom to, you know, getting the screws put to him to get people to actually care about, you know, workers' rights or anything like that. I should bring that up since we're recording on Labor Day and everything. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'll let you sort of say your thing, because there's definitely a quote I want to get to here that I got to find.
Good.
First.
Yeah. Here's my thing, and I'll be really upfront. I don't like the Patriots. I don't like Tom Brady. I don't really like Roger Goodell. But you broke the rules. Now, all the teams are doing it, and you know, everybody's using deflate. You got caught, and they didn't. So here was the punishment you were given. All right.
It went too far.
You didn't like that punishment. You have the right to appeal that. Your god-awful PA, who you should actually be mad at, negotiated in good faith a terrible deal that sees the fact in your collective bargaining agreement, your appeal will be heard by, the same guy who made the first decision. So you have to basically walk back in and hope that he feels differently about the decision he made a week earlier. He didn't. He said, you're still suspended. In my mind, that's the end of it. Next time you negotiate your collective bargaining agreement, maybe you'll be a little smarter. Maybe you'll have better lawyers that say, it's really not great for us if the commissioner gets to A, make the decision, and then B, hear the appeal of his decision. That's the part that drives me crazy. You don't get to then go above and beyond again into the court system.
Well, you have that right. That was a last resort thing.
You shouldn't have that. We're talking about a sport. Like, how far does it... I don't believe that was actually unnecessary roughness. I'm going to take this into the legal system.
Well, there's things that are agreed upon, but I mean...
That was agreed upon.
He gets
to hear the appeal. So this is it. That's all. I don't want these sorts of things muddying up an already overcrowded court system, both in the United States and obviously doesn't matter for the NFL, but in Canada. Keep your game, and don't get me wrong, I'm a big sports guy, right? But keep this shit out of the court system, and the next time you negotiate a collective bargaining agreement, say we would like an independent arbitrator that somebody's got to pay for whatever, to hear the appeal.
Yeah, that's what MLB... PA always had, like, you know, the management had their person, the union had
right.
their person, and then there was the third person
right.
in the middle, and the vote would go 2-1, you know, whichever direction
yes.
normally.
That makes sense to me. You don't go to court over, honestly, did we seriously just take up legal system time to determine whether or not the commissioner of football was able to tell a football player we're punishing you for breaking the rules?
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
But I got to read this quote from an old colleague of mine, a guy named John Nelson.
Okay.
Hey, Tom Brady, you're still a cheater on a team of cheaters coached by a cheater. At least the league won't be catering to your Weasley team owner this year. And of course, there were pictures today that surfaced on the internet. There's the judge from the Deflategate case, Richard Berman, and Robert Kraft at a party together in the Hamptons. And they just happened to be at the same party. It was a New York Post party. Coincidence.
Oh, boy.
Total coincidence. I mean, hundreds of people there.
Uh-huh.
They both happened to be in the Hamptons on the same weekend.
I hadn't seen that.
I know you're free to talk. I know you're free to talk to whoever. I mean, that's, you know.
Oh, my God.
Politics
Too
makes
perfect.
Strange.
Too perfect.
Politics makes strange bedfellows.
Oy. No,
Kim Davis isn't listening to that. But
yeah, but, you know, it's just to me, it's just like, where's the line now? What can't you? Every suspension that gets handed out, does that guy get to go to?
Well, I wish some of the suspensions had gone to court, but that's the thing. No one cared until Tom Brady got punished. That's what that will be the all-time cross.
You negotiated this.
Yeah,
that's your problem.
Not until Tom Brady got punished did this become a big, you know, industrial labor law issue. The highest paid, most prominent player in the game.
But
no one cared about, you know, Josh Gordon or whatever.
But if you but and I sat
I guess,
here tonight,
you know, it is a victory for the NFLPA.
If you and I sat
thing.
Here tonight, drank 12 beers each, and we decided to sign a contract that says if I don't like what you say, I get to punch you in the face. Eventually, you're going to decide, I don't like when he punches me in the face. And that should... You signed that fucking contract, and you're going to live by it,
well,
right?
That's not how it works.
Of course that's how it works.
No, it's not.
That's how it's supposed to work. Give me that. That I signed
ideally,
my
you
name.
Would have a contract that's that meets, right. meets holds up to
right.
legal
my
standards.
My name's on it. Your name's on it. This was the stipulation. Fucking live with
but
it.
But it's not like I could agree to a contract to say it says I'm going to work for less than the minimum wage, right?
But he didn't. Oh, that's Tom Brady's not making minimum wage.
I know, right? It's a metaphor.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, I don't think it's going to change anyone's mind about what they think happened. But no, in the end, I mean, the NFL
the
audit,
only,
was found to have gone too
the
far.
The only positive that comes out of this is hopefully a steady and huge decrease in the amount of times I have to hear the term deflategate.
Oh, you'll never have to hear about it again once we're done recording this.
That's unbelievably and untrue.
Meanwhile, the first know, Roger Patriots Goodell's game. Probably on thin ice as NFL commish.
Over-under on the first Patriots game on I'll set it at 25 times. You'll hear the term deflategate.
25 times? It's on Thursday.
On that broadcast.
Patriots, Steelers.
Pre-game through post-game. 25 times. Yeah. I got to actually watch it.
Tom Brady, forever tainted for deflating footballs. And I guess, does that make Ben Roethlisberger the good guy? No. No.
Oh, dear.
Who do you root for in that one? Jeepers.
Yikes. Oh, boy. I don't know if I can watch this game now.
Brady's definitely the... He still comes in better than that one.
Well,
anyway,
it's just and it's just one of those things that bugs me, right? I don't want to see this crap in the court system.
Yeah, it's farcical.
I don't know when the next
the NFL
CBA
the NFL
is up.
Got a little bit arrogant. Oh, it's not for till 2021.
Shit. But seriously, your side signed a bad deal.
But yeah,
live with it till 2021.
At the same time, the NFL's suffered a string of legal defeats because Roger Goodell. Keeps liking to overplay his hand, so...
Well, that's true, but there's been some ridiculous decisions made, right? Like, there's a reason they're getting crippled in these court cases. They're horribly handling them, so...
Yeah, I'll just...
I don't know. Who do you like, Patriots and Steelers on Thursday?
Oh, the Patriots are at home. They'll win that one. Yeah. Le'Veon Bell suspended, and right. The Steelers have another suspension, and... And they also have their starting centers out, so they're going to have all sorts of problems.
I've barely paid attention to the offseason. I don't know who's moved where. Who do you ridiculous preseason call out? Who's the Super Bowl final? Who's playing in the Super Bowl?
Well, I think Green Bay wins the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they should have won it last year, except they couldn't recover a stupid onside kick. AFC, it's a tougher call.
Is this the year that Peyton finally falls way back?
Yeah, I start to think Peyton Manning is
at some
starting
point.
To play out the string. Yeah. You sort of saw it the second half of last year. It's going to be a little bit of a different team this year in Denver with the new coach Gary Kubiak, and he likes to run.
He likes to run the
ball. Yeah, John Elway brings in his former backup as the coach. no buddy system here.
Yeah,
no nepotism. But we'll see.
What are you expecting to see out of New Orleans? They're another team I like to...
Yeah, they're a team in decline, I think.
It does look that way for sure.
Drew Brees, no one seems to notice that Drew Brees throws like 30 interceptions a year now. I'd say Green Bay is the Super Bowl favorite. And of the AFC, jeepers.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like racking my brain to think of a... I mean, we'll see if New England's still got a lot left in the tank. You know, Baltimore still...
At some point, they got to fall off, right?
Yeah, Baltimore's a team that seems to always be able to retool.
Yep.
Indianapolis, you can't trust them. They just look good because they're in the AFC South.
No, that's true.
You know, the AFC might have so much parity that the Bengals could actually do something.
Oh, shit. Do you think San Fran and Seattle both start to fall back a bit here again? And I mean, San Fran didn't.
Oh, San Fran is. Yeah, they're headed down the side of it.
Yeah. What do you think about Seattle this year?
Still got it.
Yeah.
Still got it. I mean, Jimmy Graham. I mean, Russell Wilson's going to, keep.
Do you think he's a top? I don't remember where I saw it now.
He was rated like third among quarterbacks for all the fantasy drafts.
Yeah.
I don't understand because they run the ball 45 times a game.
Well, and someone else was saying, like I was just reading a week or two ago, that he's not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, which I think, that's an interesting.
Well, he couldn't complete a 1 yard pass when it mattered.
Could you? It's tough, right? Okay. With those monsters staring down the other side of the defensive line?
Maybe not.
No, it's...
I'm left-handed, so I would have thrown to the other side of the field, and there probably would have been someone wide open there.
Well, I've been put in my place. Nate would have completed that. The whole thing would have been different.
I also would have handed the ball off to Marshawn Lynch.
Probably a good call right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always find myself, I'll be honest, I'm not a huge NFL guy, and I get really excited for the first kind of 2 or 3 weeks, and then I kind of just coast through the middle of the season, and then as it all heats up, I find I'm right back in, and obviously in the playoffs, I'm just glued to it, right? But it's one of those things I have a really hard time. I can't be bothered to sit and watch Cincinnati versus Cleveland or whatever on a Sunday afternoon,
yeah,
right?
Like the bad games, the ones that only the really obsessive gamblers,
right,
and yeah, people who somehow ended up with like a fantasy roster of like Andy Dalton and Andrew Hawkins and, you know, whoever is that tight
end. Is that
you
ended up with?
No, I picked Andrew Hawkins.
Right.
Damn it,
I accidentally picked LaTroy Hawkins.
Steelers are definitely in the mix to win the AFC too as well.
You don't hear a lot of talk. He's fallen way back, maybe since his legal issues about Big Ben in that upper tier anymore, eh? Like he still
gets it done.
He does. The team around him's not obviously when he came up that really young, you know, first couple of years, the team's not what it once was. But
yeah. They're more of they sort of expect him to win the games more so now.
Yeah.
But I guess getting to the big thing, the thing that hangs over all the football, obviously, the last week was the trailer came out for the, you know, Will Smith movie that's coming out around Christmas.
Yeah, you were mentioning
the concussion movie.
Before we went to air, I haven't seen the trailer.
Yeah. Well, it's all about, you know, Will Smith plays, you know, Dr. Bennett O'Malley, the doctor who discovered, you know, CTE.
Right.
Condition that, you know,
Chris Benoit and
Chris Benoit and Dave Durison and famously discovered while he was examining the brain of, you know, former Steelers great Mike Webster, you know, this thing that just causes dementia in people in contact sports who took a lot of blows to the head. And I mean, the debate's been, I think, active for really strong for three or four years, but, you know, how can you
I think that debate's over, right?
I think the debate's over. If you're watching football, it's we're just determining percentage you're
a terrible
human being.
I thought you meant the debate about is this having a negative impact on the people down the line. Yeah.
That's decided. Can you still morally watch football?
So let me ask you, does that cross your mind when you're watching a game?
Oh, yeah. Like, every time a player's down, I'm thinking, oh, boy.
Okay, I'll give you that, but when I'm sitting, you know, piling a couple of beers under my helmet watching the AFC Championship, didn't cross my mind one time that am I a bad guy for watching these guys do this to themselves? When someone gets hurt, you go, I really hope that guy's okay, and I really hope that guy's okay in 10 years from now. But it's really hard to, I think it would take the enjoyment out of it completely, and maybe it should, but it take the enjoyment out of it completely if every play, all those collisions, you're wondering, what is that doing to these guys, right?
Yeah. No, it's not as like a constant thought, but it's one that, you know, I probably have, I would say, half a dozen times in any game I watch. Like,
you're a better man than I.
Well, I don't know about that.
I'm just watching the game, right?
But I kind of wonder, like, is football going to be around in 25 years?
And what's it going to look like, right? Like,
yeah,
there is
and
that.
I wonder about that. Can it be saved, you know?
Right.
Can it be, you know, can it be made like, into a... I mean, you're never going to make it a completely safe game, but
no.
What can you do?
Well, that's it. And I, what does it look like if you start tinkering with it too? Parents don't want their kids playing anymore, right? Like, you're not going to put your 8-year-old into football when you're watching. At least, not a lot of parents aren't, right?
Well, I started to think, like, I don't know if like kids under 14 should play tackle football,
right?
At all. Like, I mean, and there are leagues and. And they are trying to teach like safe tackling and how to keep, you know, don't, you know, keep your head up and when you tackle and don't lead with your head and, you know,
good advice in life in general.
Don't
lead with your head, man.
Well, I mean, there was a time like 40 years ago where put your head right between the guy's numbers, you know, and
that's not good for you.
Yeah. I remember reading once a little factoid in Sports Illustrated once that at one point there were 16 companies in the U.S. making football helmets, and that eventually there were only 4 because 12 of them had been sued into bankruptcy by quadriplegics who had broken their neck using their helmet to make a tackle. Yeah.
Like, at some point, instead of putting these little hats on, you're going to have to stop performing his head cracking axe or two.
Yeah,
it's right?
Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. We chose not to change our head.
Right.
Head cracking lifestyles, but yeah.
We just put little hats
I just kind of wonder, what can you do, like, to change the rules to,
yep.
Like, I sometimes wonder, well, what if they went back to, you know, having, you know, just everyone played both ways, so you wouldn't have, you know, 350-pound linemen because they wouldn't be able to last, you know?
That's true.
What if, you know, the NFL, you know, the CF had the wider, you know, the CFL, you know, the offensive and defensive line are separated by a full yard, not just the length of the football, right? Because I remember
at that point, don't you think you're just giving people time to pick up speed?
Well, no, but you mean they engage more with their arms.
Well,
kind of like rugby players in the forward wall of a rugby team.
Hasn't stopped the CFL from being sued though either, right? Like, they're, people are starting to come after them now too, right?
The CFL, I mean, it certainly had separate issues, but you don't seem to hear as much about brain injuries in the CFL. And of course, I'm also reading, you know, like 58% of like brain injuries in football happen during practices.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean,
how many days a week are you out there doing it, right?
Yeah.
You watch it for 3 hours a week, but they're out there all week doing it.
Yeah. I mean, they've certainly, I mean, you know, when Division I players are spending like 40 hours a week on their sport and not getting paid for it. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a huge thing. I don't know how that really is the issue. But I guess I'm just throwing ideas out there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's the issue for me. You're starting to see on an earlier episode of Tall Can Sports, Rob and I went into this a bit. There was a couple of young 49ers who both
left. Yeah, Chris Borland. Yeah.
Yeah. Just there was two of them this season who said, I'm done. I've made some money. I don't need to keep having this happen, right? I don't need to put my life and my future at any more risk. I've made some money and I'm going to go home. And I can respect that. But what does that do? How many high school kids and then college kids and then Division I kids and practice squad guys are out there just cracking their heads over and over and over who never get that? If you can make 2-3 years in the NFL, survive and go home with a padded wallet, you've done pretty well for yourself.
And just how many people like are picking football because it's a way out, and
right? Know, that's what I'm saying.
They don't have great, you know.
I've seen more than a couple interviews with
from the wrong side of the
with guys who come up and said, "I gotta risk it. I gotta get my family out of where they are right now." So it's,
and that's a problem that's much bigger than you know, the sport itself to solve.
So in typical Tall Can fashion, when we come to a big problem like that, the thing to do is just segue off of it and let someone else deal with it.
Yeah, we're just the idea guys.
The Toronto Blue Jays,
half
a game as we sit here today, ahead of the New York Yankees. Had a couple of chances this weekend as the Yankees lost to pull ahead a little further. But then, of course, today they lose to Boston. New York gets a big win, and it looks like the thing that drives me crazy right now, and I think this is going to go like this all month long. But what drives me crazy is online, you know, Jays are up a game and a half, people saying they're talking about playoffs, right? They're talking about playoff tickets. It's a month to go in the season. A month ago at this time, you're seven games back.
Yeah.
It can turn quick. Jays keep going 8-2 and not getting away from the Yankees, right?
Like the
Yankees are doing the same thing. So I think at worst, obviously now, the Jays are going to play a wild card game. But
yeah, but probably looking at first wild card.
Right. But there's a lot of talk that, probably not now at a half game, I don't know why a game and a half was different, but that we're done, like we've made it, we're home, we're cool. And I'm not saying smart people are out there saying that, but you are seeing that sort of stuff, just talking about, you know, how would you set up the rotation and how do you... Man, there's a lot of ball to go.
Enjoy it. Yeah, enjoy this part of it.
And I can't enjoy it. Like, obviously, I'm enjoying
thought of Drew Hutchinson being left off the division series roster as much as anyone.
Those are the sorts of conversations.
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Exactly. I'm with you. So, this was an interesting weekend, obviously, with Cleveland in. Was that right?
No. Yeah, they had the Clevelands in for the start of the week. Took 2 of 3.
Yeah, and then
took another 2 of 3 off the Orioles.
Right, and now they're into Boston, and it's the long weekend that's throwing me off. Right, it feels like a Sunday night, but it's Monday night here. So, you know, New York's keeping right up and is actually now made up ground. And I really think, as I think most people do, everything else that happens is going to be tertiary to what happens in those 7 games that are left. The Jays are going into Yankee Stadium on Thursday. The weekend after, the Yankees are into Toronto. That's where this all gets decided, don't you think?
Yeah, they still have, what, 7 games left to play?
Yeah. Against each other, so.
Yeah, and I mean, whoever probably wins 4 or more of those probably wins the division.
Right. That's how it seems to be shaping up.
You know, odds are, I mean, I'm not saying that's written in stone.
No, no, because then you can go into Tampa the next day or next week and get swept.
Yeah,
so.
Like I say, it all starts on Thursday.
Yeah.
Four games in the Bronx.
Well, you better take the next 2 from Boston, right?
Like, you know, ideally.
Yeah. Because it just, man.
Boston's an interesting spoiler team because they've just scored a ton of runs in the second half.
Well, and which is kind of what we're supposed to do, right? Like, and I don't know. They scare me a little, right? Whenever we go into Fenway, it's not pretty. So it's hard to kind of ditch that old Toronto Blue Jays loser mentality that this is a good team and they're going to be okay, right? That you're constantly, you're always worried. You're wondering what's, what do you think of Mark Burley right now?
His arm looks shot.
Yeah. And he didn't have much to give up to begin with. Throwing a fastball at 85, right?
You can't beat. It just looks like a tired arm or something. But he struggled throughout the second half.
Yeah. And I mean, did you see today, for people who don't know, Monday, Labor Day, Stroman threw again at AAA, kind of blew up there in the second inning a little.
He just needs to get his arm stretched out, really. I wouldn't worry too much about the
he's out of runway, right? His next start, if he's getting one, is going to have to be in the majors.
Yeah, because Buffalo's season is, I presume, ended today.
Yeah, I don't know.
The AAA season always ends on Labor Day.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this would have been
I only remember that because that was the only day the Ottawa Lynx ever drew fans. There'd be more people there to watch the some Senators players take batting practice and get autographs from, like, Chris Neal.
Hey, Radek Bonk's out there slapping dingers.
You remember Chris Neal and Ray Emery had the best swings.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see Chris Neal, was he holding the bat or was it just his fists? Punching him out of the park.
Yeah, man. First stood in and took about 12 off the chest.
Yeah, it's, you know, to me, I don't want to be thinking about taking Burley out of a, and now I'm the one looking ahead, but out of a playoff and ALDS rotation, especially with the first half he had and all that playoff experience. Hasn't been very good, right? And his last 5 or so starts especially just looks kind of out of gas. You know, I got the chance to watch the first couple innings today, and they were kind of slapping him around a bit, right? And
yeah, he doesn't have... His command was off.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the heat to make up for it. He's topping out at 85,
right? Yeah, he throws to spots. He misses. That's how he misses bats. He pitches to contact.
Right.
Yeah, it was a bit ugly.
So at this point, let's say you've made the ALDS and it starts tomorrow and everybody's healthy or everybody's rested. How are you lining it up?
Oh, I mean, want to get Price games 1 and 5.
Yeah.
And we'll see if,
Dickie or Estrada's got to go.
Yeah, and then I think you basically got to go Dickie, Estrada, Stroman.
Man, see, again, you're a better man than me. I'm not ready for Stroman, right? I just haven't seen enough. He got a little wild there today. It's been a year. And he's, what, 22? 20? Like, it's not like this grizzled vet coming back that's going to experience his way through it. I don't know. He scares me a little, too.
Is this they painted themselves in a corner because they put Sanchez in the bullpen?
You wonder. Now, he's been lights out there, and I don't think when they put him there, they expected Burley to fall off. And, you know, maybe it's just, you know, been a tough couple of weeks for him and he'll bounce back. But you know, to me, after I'm probably going to line it up, Dickey going second, just because I think that knuckleball after Price.
Yeah, that's where I put Dickey.
Yeah, and then Estrada, and then it's not going to be Hutch. So I mean, I guess you're down to Burley or Stroman, but and then what are you doing with Hutchinson? Are you going to put him in the pen, or is he going to be on your playoff roster?
I think you'd have to put him in the there as one of the pitchers.
To just eat innings if you're way up,
yeah,
way down.
Eat innings, or if you're, yeah, if someone gets knocked down early, you know, have him, he throws long relief.
I can tell you what I didn't need to see was Aaron Loop get called back up with the rosters expanding. And I said that to somebody yesterday, and they know their ball too. Whatever. Well, you know, it's just because the rosters expanding. Yep, I don't need him anywhere near that. Man, he hasn't had a good year either, right? They brought up Tapera, who I don't think I've ever seen him pitch.
Yeah, he's just a guy, Ryan Tapera, yeah.
Right. You know, they didn't really bring up much help. Dalton Pompey had a big, you know, first game. African caught two steals and got cashed in. It was pretty sweet. But I don't know how often you're going to bank on that happening either. So, I don't know, man. I'm that jaded Toronto sports fan that's just seen too many things blow up in their face that, you know... Obviously, I think they're going to get a minimum wild card game here, but I'm not overly confident in the staff still, right? If they hadn't gone out and gotten Price, I don't know what we'd be looking at here right now.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And of course, the Yankees also had to shut down Nathan Eovaldi for 2 weeks, so that's, you know, you don't root for, you know, other teams' players.
That's the name you're going with, eh? Dude, don't care. Pass over Teixeira getting DL'd, but...
Oh, yeah, to share. You don't root for the other team lose frontline players, but yeah. At the same time, you do acknowledge that.
No, for sure, right?
That it could help you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You want kind of, like you say, you don't cheer for it, but you're not overly beat up to see other guys going down. So if you had to flip a coin right now based on look at how everybody's playing, what do you see coming out of the Yankees going to get... Jays going to hold on, or the Yankees?
I think the Jays are going to hold on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be tight, though, all the way.
Optimistic Nate. It's not, not the guy you see all the time.
I mean, if they can go 15-10 down the stretch, that's 93 wins.
Yeah. But it kind of looks like Yankees are set up to go 15-10 down the... No, they're a half game back, so they got to go one better than you. But they've got a game in hand still, I think. Yeah, they do. So
yeah, the Yankees have the game in hand.
Yeah. So ultimately, I do think it gets settled in the four games where the Jays are in New York.
We should mention if they end up tied for the division and the first wild card.
Yeah.
It just goes to whoever won the season series gets the division banner.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. There wouldn't be a one game playoff if they've both qualified.
Okay. See, I look at this fucking guy bringing knowledge to the.
It's happened before. The teams have actually tied for a division, and they just said, there's no point in you guys playing a playoff when we've already,
right.
We're both in
just
already.
Just for then one of you to then go to the ALTS one to go play another one-game playoff. Man,
I don't know if it's happened since they went to this this play-in game thing.
Yeah. Man, that'd be tense. Two back-to-back one-game playoff series.
Well, I mean, didn't someone have to do that? I can't remember.
In this format? Yeah, it gets a little wacky around this time of year.
Yeah.
You
have two teams tie for the last wild card spot, and then you have to win a game to get into a one-game playoff. Yeah.
What else is on your mind? I saw you opened up your play-by-play season with Ottawa U. Argos got just smashed by the Ticats today in the Labor Day Classic.
I wouldn't call either one of them Labor Day Classics. Yeah. Yay.
And
what was the scores 42-12 and 16-7.
That's not a classic.
The only highlight of the Edmonton Calgary game was the rabbit that ran on the field during the opening kickoff. And I saw someone post a funny video of it, and it was like, why didn't you follow him? You had a lead blocker on the play. Like the rabbit was like sprinting alongside the guy running back the opening kickoff.
Like a pace thing at the dog track.
Almost. Like it was just like, go behind the rabbit. Like everyone's gonna be like, rabbit, you know, like no one's gonna want it. Like, I mean,
took a long turn, wrong
like
turn.
That guy on the special, you're already a special teamer in the CFL. I mean, you already live in shame. You don't want to be the person who also
live in
animal
shame.
Cruelty.
Like, And
but I guess as far as the CFL goes, we should touch on, I think everything sort of came up Red Blacks this week during their off week, because first off, BC goes into Montreal and wins.
Yep.
So it drops the Owls down to 4-6.
Yep.
Then Winnipeg loses to Saskatchewan in the...
Which is a little less relevant, but still helpful.
But you got to look at it in terms of the fact that, you know, all the fourth place team in the East could claim the 3 seed in the West. So Winnipeg, you know, Winnipeg's still at, what, 3 wins, I think?
I think that sounds right.
And BC's at 4-6. And so the Red Blacks, 5-4.
Yeah.
They didn't lose ground to Toronto because Toronto lost.
That daunting West, right? Normally pretty...
You know, Montreal didn't pick up any ground on them. Winnipeg didn't pick up ground on them.
Who's Ottawa got up next?
They're in BC
this
week. Whereas last year, they've not traveled well so far in their season plus back. I mean, they're 1-3 on the road this year. But the one win was in Montreal, which is barely...
Very early in the season, right?
Yeah, it was the first game of the season. Yeah. They knocked out 2 quarterbacks. And, I mean, it's 1 hour and 40 minutes from home. I mean, it's not really a road trip. I don't even know if how they go down.
Did they come back home that night? And,
yeah. Like, do they carpool?
Well, it is the CFL.
It is. Yeah. Rented. Yeah, there probably aren't 10 guys on the team who have cars. No, I know there's a couple of guys on the team who, like, literally bike from their apartments to the stadium.
Real tight squeeze on the Greyhound coming home from Montreal.
I've noticed that there's a few, like, bicycles that are, like, parked in the hallway outside the locker room at TD Place. And kind of like, yeah, that's the cool part about the CFL.
They're just being healthy, that's all.
Sustainability in football.
And really, why not? It's not like anybody's going to recognize them out there anyway. So
you don't recognize players around town.
You do.
Yeah, I do. I'm like, there's Jordan Verdone working out a good life.
Yeah. See, I don't
think... And everyone's like, huh? What?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So everything came up Red Blacks. Next week they go to BC. Travis Lule may or may not play because he was hurt in the Montreal game. So, and the Red Blacks, of course, signed Sean Lemon, who was in camp with the 49ers.
Yeah.
And had a bunch of... It was one of the leading... quarterback sackers in the league.
What do you think?
When he was with Calgary. So that's a good pickup because Aston Whiteside, who was their team leader in sacks,
I'm Mr. Whiteside. Sorry.
Strong side. Whiteside.
Killer tunes that never quite made the cut.
Yeah,
you know what?
So they picked, I think he's supposed to practice this week. So, I mean, to get him in when you... already leading the league in sacks. That's a pretty good coup for their defense.
Yeah. No, it's
it's pretty, it's obviously exciting that, Ottawa's, actually above 500 halfway through the season. Might not have happened since.
Well, and it's unbelievable just how tight both divisions are, right? Like, everybody but Saskatchewan's within a couple of wins.
And like, Saskatchewan's not 1-9 bad. They're probably, like, 4-6 bad, and they've just had, like, terrible luck.
Well, especially those first 2 weeks, right? They could easily, maybe even the first 3 weeks, they were in some games and just had some pretty bad luck, right? Like, I'm never one of those guys that says, to me, your record is what it is, and that's who you are. But you can certainly see that they've had some tough luck in Saskatchewan, for sure. What do you think at this point? You've been saying for quite a while, even when they didn't look good, that Hamilton was going to, was the class of the league. They're starting to look like it now, right? Rounding into form. And are they going to run away with the East from here on in?
It could look like that. If they complete that sweep against the Argos after, because they always have the traditional return game in Toronto, which
I've been
could
to the
be watched game. By hundreds of people.
I've been to the return game a couple of times. It just never quite lives up to the hype of the Labor Day Classic.
And I remember a few times they've had ones, but yeah, it's not as quite,
went to one in 2005, maybe, where they shut out Hamilton. It was like
48-0.
That sounds about right.
I was at that game.
Yeah, me too, man. Right on.
A funny story about that game, well, first off, 48-0. Like, how bad are you that you can't score in the CFL?
Seriously, just like, kick it.
Like, you couldn't have just, like, got to the 30-yard line and just punted the ball through the end zone for one?
Don't get shut out. Like, what do you
think? And this was when Pinball Clemens was coach at the Argos.
Yeah.
And so I'm riding back to it because this was when I was, like, working down near the Hamilton area. We're listening to a Hamilton station. And they had like some like message on from like their head of the Ticats cheerleading. She's like, let's all cheer for our Ticats. The next song was Pinball Wizard. Yeah, we had to pull off to the side until we stopped laughing.
Yeah. No, that was truly brutal.
But it was when fun. The Ticats were really bad, like when Greg Marshall was the coach.
And yep.
Like every series would be like the run first. Up the middle for 2 yards and then, you know, deep comeback route that would be overthrown, and like then, every series.
And then run back to McMaster.
Yeah. Oh, he went back to Western after that.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm not up with my... What, you couldn't just let me have that? How many of our listeners are going to know that?
Yeah, that was me yesterday during the U-Ottawa game. It's like, well, this could be U-Ottawa's most lopsided win over Queens. And I was just kind of like, since a 2001 playoff game. And I'm like, I'm stating this with confidence, not because I know it's true, because I know no one's going to correct me. And I've had, you know, more than 24 hours to, you know, check that, but I decided to rob it and just say, just you know what, that's what I believe is true. I'm going with it.
I love that term's catching on. I'm just going to rob this one.
It was a 35-point game. It ended up being 24 points. I can't remember anything between 25 to 34 since then. So
I've just got a vamp, right?
No, in your heart it's true. That's what I'm saying. Rob is one of those guys. It's like when the legend becomes fact, you know, go with the legend. But I think,
or at least be a legend in your own mind. It's.
But now the other thing with the Jays, we should, you know, if they do get hot, I mean, they're not that far behind Kansas City for best record in the AL. They're only four and a half behind the Royals for that.
And so you'd get the wild card, which could be the Yankees, and then you can't do that. So like, they won't let you play a wild card in your own division, right? So.
Oh, no, you can still play a wild card.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure it's if, you know, a team from your division gets the wild card, they go against.
No, that rule was changed once they went to the 2 wild card system.
Fine. Again, just slapping me down all over the place. Let me rob one.
Wow. I was giving a B- for my fantasy football draft tonight.
I'm going to give you a B- for this fucking podcast here shortly.
I don't think I've been that good. Following the 8th overall pick in the draft, Kim Davis's prison wife is forecasted to finish 8th in D-League. Yes, that's the name I went with for my team.
Right on. It is into that...
We're getting into the silly season.
It's getting to that point. I've got, junior hockey training camps to be open now.
Yeah, they are.
I've got next couple of weeks, our fantasy hockey thing will get scheduled. I'm defending 9th place holder. It's a fun time of year. The NFL's firing up. Hockey will be back shortly. NBA is going to be back just after that. Baseball playoffs. Everybody always says kind of April, and I do agree with that, where, you know, baseball's firing up and the NBA and the NHL are both. But this time of year with the football going on as well, to me, it's a little richer than April for me, right?
Definitely.
It's more kind of my speed at this point. So what are you expecting? You know, we'll just touch on this quickly since we got a little time here. The class of the O to be this year, right? The OHL.
The London Knights have loaded up.
Right.
Niagara Ice Dogs have a nice core coming back. They were, you know, electric in the second half of last year.
Yeah. Champion Jennies will take a huge step back. They're going to lose.
Likely. The Ottawa 67s, I think, are going to push for top two in the Eastern Conference. And I think the league, the conferences are a lot more balanced.
Are they going to get Konechny back?
Travis Konechny's back. He's still going to be a 4-year OHL player.
Right. So, you know, like I said, it's a fun time of year. Their season opens up a little earlier usually. Do you know when their game one is?
The 67s?
Well, just in general.
September 24th.
Okay, yeah. So we're not that far off at this point. There'll be
2.5 weeks.
No doubt. A ton of hockey coming up. We'll cover some junior. We'll obviously cover some NHL later on this week. We'll be back. Whole lot to cover on Audio Whiplash. Rob will make his return and likely respond to Nate's shots at him.
That's not a shot. It's an homage.
Oh, is that what it is? I'm paying homage. Okay. Rob doesn't really respond to things well. He just hears someone say his name and assumes they're slamming him and fires back. So, you know, duck, I guess.
He knows where I live, too. That's
I'm surprised he hasn't put that out there online yet. Anyway, we'll probably wrap up this Tall Can Sports here at this point. you know, we may, depending on how this week plays out, especially with the Jays being in the situation we're at, move to doing more than one sports show a week. We'll see how things shake out. Until then, thanks, Nate, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.